following programming is sponsored by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hello and welcome to Positively Pro-Life Podcast. Positively Pro-Life is brought to you by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation and aims to bring you inspirational stories and conversation, important legislative updates, and informative interviews as we seek to restore and strengthen a culture of life. I'm your host, Ramil Tenney, the Education Director at the Federation, and I'm joined today, as usual, by Maria Gallagher, our Acting Executive Director. Welcome, Maria.
It's great to be with you on this busy Wednesday.
Always great to have you on. And Pennsylvanians have some very good news. There has been a new initiative that will provide a unified voice to pregnancy resource centers in support of policies that elevate women and families in our Commonwealth. The Pennsylvania Pregnancy Wellness Collaborative announced their launch in Harrisburg at the Capitol Media Center last week. Now, their vision is to see a Pennsylvania where pregnancy help organizations are protected and supported as they live out their Christian faith by freely empowering families to choose life. Our guest interview today is to talk about this new hope-filled proactive venture in the wake of decreasing support and increased threats from the state government. Now, Maria is here with her update for the week, following which we will go into our interview.
Thank you so much, Ramil. The following is from a news release from National Right to Life. The U.S. Supreme Court recently heard oral arguments regarding the Food and Drug Administration's decisions in 2016 and 2021 to loosen regulations of the abortion drug mifepristone and whether the challengers have standing to bring their case. We hope that the justices will reconsider the approval of this dangerous drug or at least reinstate the longstanding safety protocols, said Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life. Tragically, every mifepristone abortion takes the life of an unborn baby and places her mother in harm's way. Bowing to pressure from the abortion industry, the FDA loosened the safety requirements of mifepristone, which still has a black box warning, said Tobias. Drugs that come with black box warnings have the most dangerous side effects and safety concerns. Yet the FDA is okay with mifepristone being prescribed and even mailed to women without an in-person exam. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, the government agency that tracks the nation's abortions, approximately 56% of all abortions are done using chemical abortion methods like mifepristone and misoprostol. In a recent report, the Guttmacher Institute, a research arm of the abortion industry, claimed that this number has risen to 63%. Mifepristone abortions by telehealth and third-party online sites are like the Wild West, with a network of suppliers who are willing to break the few rules that exist, said Tobias. The current Wild West of abortion drug distribution is the direct fault of the administration and its allies who have pushed for fewer and fewer rules and safety precautions for the abortion drugs. And Ramil, having heard the oral arguments yesterday, I think that there is a possibility that the justices are going to be focusing on the issue of standing and whether the pro-life doctors who brought the case have standing in order to pursue legal action. So we'll see what they say, probably in June.
Yes, we will just have to wait for the final decision to come on this. But in other news, because the abortion pill is going to be distributed through pharmacies in Pennsylvania, we know that there has been a lot of activity with chapters going and protesting or holding vigils outside Walgreens pharmacy. So we can always do the work at a grassroots level to educate, to spread awareness, and to protest in legal and safe ways to protest the abortion pill industry. Now, we have good news along with this. Like I mentioned earlier, the Pennsylvania Pregnancy Wellness Collaborative launched last week at the Capitol. And so today we have with us Sarah Bowen, who is the president of the Pennsylvania Pregnancy Wellness Collaborative, and Jill Hartman of A Women's Concern in Lancaster, one of the centers that is part of the PPWC. Now, Sarah and Jill are among the 8 directors across PA who created the PPWC, and I'm excited to hear all about this new initiative. So welcome, Sarah and Jill, to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate the opportunity to talk about what's happening in Pennsylvania.
And all the hard work you guys also do for support of pregnancy centers across our Commonwealth.
Oh, it's great that you both of you can be with us today. And I'm going to start us off by tell us about the press conference that you held at the launch of PPWC last Tuesday.
So that was just an incredible day. We were able to gather pregnancy centers from across the Commonwealth and some clients and some babies, because, you know, who doesn't love having a baby hanging out with you? And we were able to be up in front of some media. We were able to bring some legislators on with us and have them share some words in support of the collaborative and also of pregnancy help in general. And it was just a phenomenal opportunity to feel just the love that these that pregnancy centers have for women and children, and how much we want to see women have great health care, and we want to advocate for maternal health, and we want to see really awesome outcomes for pregnancy. These are conversations that need to be happening. They need to be happening at the state level, and we need to make sure that pregnancy centers are at the table.
Yes, that is so important, that pregnancy centers be at the table. And I'm wondering, is that the reason why the PPWC was formed, so that you could be more involved in this process, which unfortunately doesn't always favor pregnancy centers?
Well, Maria, as you know, most directors and most volunteers and team members at pregnancy centers entered this world because they wanted to serve. So for years, we've been on the front line serving our local communities with these resources and this help. It is a little shocking how quickly that we could not keep up with that model. When Roe was first leaked, and then all the subsequent things that happened, and of course, the change in our leadership at our government level, all of a sudden, the attacks on pregnancy centers were aggressive. And we needed to be united. We needed to not bury our heads. We needed to change our focus and understand that if we were not able to articulate clearly the impact that we had in our local communities, that we did not invite more and more legislators and politicians into visiting our centers so that they could have a voice for us, that those attacks would just become even more intense. So we needed to have a united voice, and we needed to be able to speak very clearly about the impact we make.
And the reality is, pregnancy centers, and I believe this with all of my heart, are doing just phenomenal work across the state. But when we're doing that work, that's our job, right? You know, that's full-time or more. And so we don't always have time to go out there and schedule meetings. And we don't always have, you know, not everybody's thinking about that. And so the PPWC is going to help pregnancy centers connect with legislators. We're going to help talk about, you know, what are the concerns right now? You know, what are the concerns in Pennsylvania, and how are pregnancy centers addressing those concerns? And we're going to give pregnancy centers not just unity, which is super, super important. I mean, that would be enough, right? But we're going to give them the tools they need to really engage in the conversation in a very productive way. And it's not, we're already doing it. You know, it's not like we have to teach pregnancy centers to do something new. Mm-hmm. We just need to talk about it a little bit differently.
Do you think we are seeing unprecedented threats? Like pregnancy resource centers have been operating for over 50 years now, ever since the Roe v. Wade was law. But do you think that the threats have increased since Dobbs?
Well, I don't think it was ever controversial that helping women with an unplanned pregnancy and helping families be better parents and helping women to be more informed about some of the medical decisions they have to make with it when they're considering abortion. I mean, since when was that controversial until the last 2 years? Mm-hmm. We truly believe in women empowerment, and we believe in providing the right tools in the tool belt so they can be great parents. That all of a sudden is under attack by our governor, and it's under attack by our attorney general. And that very intentional focus on us means that we have to have a response.
And I think, too, you know, we want women to have informed consent. We want them to have choices. We want them to have real options. We want someone to come into our office. She says she's not sure what she wants to do, and she has an opportunity to hear about state Medicaid. She has an opportunity to hear about housing, help for domestic violence, help if she's being trafficked, help with baby items. You know, it could be a simple solution. It could be a complicated solution, but she deserves to have all the information available to her. And that really shouldn't be controversial. But yeah, I would say to echo Jill, the last 2 years have been, it's a new place for us as pregnancy centers. And so it's really important that we're having those conversations with our lawmakers and letting them know, hey, this is who we are and what we do. And it's really not what it's being portrayed to be in the media.
Pregnancy centers have been in existence for many, many years. They go back decades. I think about the dawn of birthright. I believe it was in Canada. And it was just such a brilliant model for helping women. And yet, even though these pregnancy centers have been around for so long, they're still a very well-kept secret, unfortunately. Yes. Not even pro-life people know of their existence. So can you tell us about the centers that make up the PPWC?
So the majority of our centers are medical or have some part of their ministry is medical. So I run a pregnancy center in Western Pennsylvania called Promise of Life Network. We have two medical facilities and three resource centers. And that's, you know, that can happen where you have someone has some medical facilities and some resource centers. So the majority of our pregnancy centers are medical. Some of them are resource centers too, and that's fine. You know, they're providing diapers, wipes, baby clothes, referrals, those kinds of things. Very, very important. All of these pregnancy centers are operating with excellence. So they're all committed to honesty and advertising. They're committed to treating their clients well. They're committed to their bylaws, to following the rule of law, following state and federal laws. You know, these are organizations that are operating extremely well. And that's not the exception. That's the rule for pregnancy centers. Most pregnancy centers are operating with excellence. They're operating above board, and they are doing things the way that they should be doing them.
But what's really interesting, Maria, is that we are in our local communities. So in my local communities, we have great resources for early pregnancy care for women. So when they come into my center and we provide them, of course, you know, confirmation of pregnancy, we provide all of them at no cost to them, ultrasounds that are done by RDMSs under the direction of a medical director and RNs. I mean, the medical resources there are really high in Lancaster because we need that as that first touch point. But one of the things that we do exceptionally well for Lancaster is we get them into other agencies, other support centers, so that maternal care and that continuum of care for the women that need it is there. And then at our center, we also walk alongside them with pregnancy education and knowledge, and then parenting up to the baby's being a first birthday. All of us may be uniquely different in some of those small elements, but the commitment for love, compassion, and knowledge, we believe that women are strong. We believe that all women, when given them the right, deserves to have the right information. And one thing that we're really concerned about is less medical oversight does not mean more care. So, Maria, you talked about, you know, the Supreme Court and, you know, mifepristone. These are challenges we see every day at our centers, the centers that are medical.
We're very concerned about the way that the home abortion, the chemical abortion is going. And we see women who have just tremendously negative side effects, consequences, and outcomes from these home abortions.
Right.
And less medical oversight is not the answer. And so we have all this focus right now on, oh, pregnancy centers are doing X, Y, or Z. Well, the reality is we're all operating, like I said, with excellence. You know, we have medical directors, we have nursing staff, we are following up with our clients.
Right.
What we need to do is we need to be looking at these home abortions and what's happening there.
I'll share a little story. Just a few weeks ago, a young girl came in and she had an ectopic pregnancy. And we immediately were able to get her triaged and into the proper care to take care of that medical procedure. If she had taken an at-home abortion without any medical oversight, there was a very good chance that that would have been ignored and that that could have threatened her life. Those are the things that pregnancy centers that are on the front line are able to help assist with so that women are getting optimal medical care early in their pregnancies.
And we're doing it for free. And we're doing it without asking for proof of income, proof of residency, or all of these other papers. You walk in, we provide services.
Wow, what a contrast to how abortion centers operate and you know, sometimes failing inspections, not doing the things the proper way. So it's just beautiful to hear. I know that you had extended an invitation to legislators, representatives, and even the governor to come visit some of your centers. So
yes.
I'm wondering, what has that, have you had any response to that?
Governor Shapiro has not shown up yet. But he is. We're going to extend it again. Maybe he didn't hear us the first time. He is welcome to visit Promise of Life Network. I can give him our address or a Woman's Concern in Life.
I left a message for him very clearly. He's invited. The invitation to all legislators and all people should be, if they don't know and understand what's happening at their local pregnancy center, all of us are willing to open up those doors and share what we do so that they can share with their families and friends so that all women can find us and have the opportunity to have that support network.
And one of my favorite types of tours is to do a tour with someone who doesn't like pregnancy centers.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yes.
I want them to come through. I want them to ask questions. I want them to see what we do. And so far, every single time that happens, they leave saying, you know what? This is a good organization. And I'm like, yes. So I always tell people, you know, wherever you are in Pennsylvania, call your local pregnancy center and set up a tour. Guarantee you're going to love them.
One of the beautiful, Maria, you remember that my client was able to talk at the Pennsylvania Walk for Life in in the fall of this year. And my client was able to stand on that stage and she got to share with governor, with the governor and shared very clearly, my life matters. My family's life matters. We only needed a little hands up. Not a hands out. And my center provided that and our lives are changed forever. We matter. So that the unilateral direction of our governor to not provide for parenting and these options and supportive pregnancy centers is just very myopic. And it's ignoring a lot of women that really need some help and a lot of families that deserve some support.
And I think anyone who has been to the grocery store or the gas pumps lately knows that families are feeling the pinch.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond just the basics of needing diapers, wipes, baby clothes, furniture, free pregnancy tests, free confirmation of pregnancy, they need to know that there's someone out there in their corner.
Yes.
And that we're going to advocate for them, that we're going to refer them to other services. And when they have that knowledge, it's not just getting stuff, right? Although the stuff can be really important. It's also that security. And that can reduce someone's stress. That can reduce their sort of, you know, their feelings of anxiety. And those make for healthier parents.
And one of the things that I've heard from clients of pregnancy centers is this, is that I've heard them say, you know, this was the first time somebody really listened to me and asked me what I wanted. Because all the people around me are saying what they think I should do, but nobody's asking what I want. And this is my first opportunity to talk to somebody who really cares about that.
I think it's funny that the other side says all these things about us giving false narratives and deceptive advertising and all this stuff. All you have to do is talk to our clients, those that we've served. And I know at our center, we have a 98% satisfaction survey that we do. That's how happy they are. Even Chick-fil-A has a lower rating than that. Pregnancy centers have raving fans. And it goes back to exactly what you just said, Maria, because we listen and we care.
And I know that maternal assistance and assistance for the baby is something that you provide, but something I'm hearing more and more that pregnancy resource centers are getting into is also help for the men, for the fathers of the babies and the husbands and or the boyfriends of the women who walk in. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We love helping dads. So everyone knows, and this is research bears this out, that an involved dad is going to make a tremendous difference in a child's life. Mm-hmm. Lower rates of addiction, lower rates of jail time, higher rate of graduation. Those things are really important. And so by engaging dads in the conversation from the very beginning, mm-hmm. you're going to not just change a life, you're going to change families, and then you're going to change communities. And so, yeah, a lot of pregnancy centers, mine and Jill's included, mm-hmm. have fatherhood mentors who meet with these guys and they talk about, what does it mean to be a dad? You know, what does my child need from me? How do I parent? How do I father my child in a way that's unique? Because they're not mothers, right? You know, mothering and fathering is different and it's going to feel different, and that's okay. You know, but they have a person to go to and talk to and say, you know, how do I father this child? How do I make sure that I'm there for this child in a way that maybe nobody was there for me? And so instead of, you know, walking out on the mom and the baby, sometimes in frustration or in feeling like I don't have the tools, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't even know if I'm necessary. They're like, I have someone I can talk to. I have someone I can lean on. I have information. I know how to be a dad. I know how to do this.
What we have found is that when men are invited into the conversation, when men are, when it's shared with men that they can make this difference, they are resoundingly saying yes. And this is when families are transformed.
And I think, too, there's this false narrative that goes out from the pro-abortion side that the pro-life side is just interested in forced birth. And what I find interesting is that a lot of the clients that I've had the privilege to meet and to talk with talk about being empowered as a result of visiting a pregnancy center. I mean, they feel more in control of their life after having been exposed to people who care and people who are going to walk alongside them during their pregnancy journeys.
I mean, one of the most powerful statements you can say is knowledge is power. And so when people walk through pregnancy centers and our medical clinics, that's exactly what we're doing. We're giving them education and knowledge so that they can make informed decisions.
And I think, too, we have to realize that early pregnancy is a very overwhelming time. And it doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter whether your baby was planned, you're going to feel overwhelmed. It is. It's just the nature of it. And so having a chance to sit down with someone and talk about, okay, what exactly is overwhelming you? Like, let's break it down. And I'll never forget, I met with a couple. They were expecting their second child. This was a little while ago, but they were like, we have to have an abortion. We can't do this. We can't have a second baby. And I said, okay, let's talk about that. If you could change, you know, after talking to them for quite a while, I said, if you could change one thing, you know, is there one thing that would change that maybe you would think? Because you could tell they wanted their baby, mm-hmm. right? They were together. They loved each other. They already had a child together. They wanted this baby, but they felt like their circumstances were just not right. And she said, well, if we could have our own house, because they were living with a family member, if we could have our own place to live, I would be thrilled to be pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, do you think we could help you in the next 7 months to find a place to live? Yeah, we could do that. Let's do that. That's all she needed. You know, mm. She didn't want an abortion. She didn't need an abortion. She needed housing.
Yeah, right.
And if she had left our office that day and decided to have an abortion, she would still need housing.
Yes.
You know, that wouldn't have changed. And so so really working with these families and talking about what do you need, you know, and how can we help meet that need? That's what we do.
Well, how do these women come to you and how do they find you? Is it usually referrals or do they just find a website online?
Well, this is also contrary to what the other side says about us. The majority of us find our clients through word of mouth. Most of us, if we're tracking and measuring, especially with our education or our resources that we provide, word of mouth, family members, you know, just that those general conversations, because we have raving fans. However, the majority of us that are very much targeting the abortion-minded and determined, those that need our help the most with information and those complementary services such as the ultrasound and confirmation of pregnancy, most of us are marketing very aggressively with Google paid ads that are answering the questions that they're seeking. which has been also very interesting because big tech has not been overly friendly with our industry.
Yeah, and our experience has been the same. A lot of word of mouth with our resource clients, families that need help with those items. And then for medical services, it's the internet. You know, they're going to get online and they're going to say, you know, I need a pregnancy test near me, or I need to know if I'm pregnant or how far along I am, those kinds of things. And then we want them to find us. And then they come in and we talk to them about, you know, what we can do, what can we provide? How can we help you?
We've got about a minute and a half left, and I'm wondering if you have any final thoughts you would like to share.
So I think that my call to action this year is really going to be, you know, we as Pennsylvanians, every one of us we have a calling to fulfill. This is the time for the rubber to meet the road. And everyone's calling is going to look different. You know, not everyone is called to be the executive director of a pregnancy center. But I believe everyone's called to something. And so my challenge, my invitation to your listeners is really, really seek the Lord's face. Find out, you know, what's going on in your community, find out where help is needed, and then step up and do it, because our communities need us. These mothers, their children need us. And frankly, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania needs us, and they need us to step up and make things happen.
And to choose light, to choose goodness, to choose serving others, and that knowing that you can have a voice, and some of the difficult conversations can be done better instead of just shying away from anything that somebody deems political. Have the right conversations with the right tone, because that's how you change hearts.
Well said. Sarah Bowen and Jill Hartman, part of the Pennsylvania Pregnancy Wellness Collaborative. Thank you so much for being on the program today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Have a beautiful day.
Positively Pro-Life is made possible through the generous support of the members of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation all across the Commonwealth. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is the largest single-issue pro-life organization in the Keystone State, with nearly 40 local county-based chapters. We shine a spotlight on the most vulnerable individuals, from the very dawn of life to the twilight of life. Thank you for joining us for the program today. It would not be the same without you. We are grateful for your continuing support and encouragement. And we love coming to you week after week with this life-saving, life-changing message. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.